Senator Scott, would you come up here, please? Senate will please come to order. With that order of business is bills on second reading, specifically the budget bill. Senate File 1, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations 2.
We do have some amendments. You all have your lists. What I'm going to do, members of the Senate, as per our rules, if a amendment deals with money up or down, there will is an automatic roll call vote. If in the amendment there is no mention of money up or down, I will not call for a roll call vote, but you certainly may stand up and call for the ayes and nays, and that might save us a little time. With that, the first second reading amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 36. Please read that amendment in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 36, page 5, line 5.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 36 to the budget bill, Senate File 1. Mr. President, this deals with the tribal liaisons. We've had this discussion before. It appropriates money for two full-time positions. I've tried to impress on you, and I hope I've been successful, that we have a, you know, a multi-million dollar relationship with the people of the Wind River Indian Reservation. There are two sovereign tribes there, Mr. President. It's the only reservation in the world that is like that in the country, and it was set up by Congress that way. It doesn't work to have one person do both. We've tried that. The halftime position is kind of ridiculous. We lost the support of the Eastern Shoshone tribe in that process. They've decided not to appoint a halftime person, and I don't really blame them. They've kind of been jerked around. This is a very small amount of money for a very big relationship, and I hope you will approve it. Thank you.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, reluctantly on and against this amendment. The fact is, this is supposed to be a liaison. And if it's a multi-million dollar relationship, you would think that the other side would have an interest in financing half of the expense for this liaison. This is the only place I've ever heard of where you've got a liaison from somebody else and we're paying for that liaison from somebody else. I would think a liaison usually is somebody who goes both ways. This is a liaison from the tribes, yet they want us to pay 100% of it. And it's never, frankly, ever made sense to me.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Just a question for the sponsor. Two things. One, if it was funded, would the missing tribe come back? And the two was, my recollection was a few years ago, and the reason this got started in the first place, that there were some issues with responsiveness and adequate representation. It was, you know, that there was it wasn't working, quite frankly, for a myriad of reasons. And so this started out initially as cutting funding in half is kind of how this ended up getting reduced in the first place, to see if and the funding was cut in half, so by only funding for 1 year, to see if we could correct the problem. My last discussion on these things was a couple years ago in general, joint appropriations, and it was improving. And we funded the second half of that biennium. So I'd just be interested in knowing where that's at, and if this is to voted up, what the result would be with respect to the missing tribe coming back.
Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time. Further discussion. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I thank you very much for those questions. Yes, we had a different arrangements before where there was a sharing arrangement, and the good chairman of appropriations is in error on this because, Mr. President, the sharing mechanism didn't work. We ended up fighting about who had to pay for what. It was ridiculous, and it completely obfuscated the importance of this relationship. We put this in the governor's office, made him a state of Wyoming employee because of the nature of the relationship and the fact that this way they are state employees and under the direction of the governor. So if you think about it, why should most of this come from the state of Wyoming? These are Wyoming citizens. I'm not a citizen of the Wind River Reservation. I don't think anybody in this room is or could be. But the entire state of these people are besides being citizens of the Wind River Reservation, they are citizens of Wyoming, entitled to everything that any other citizen is entitled to. And we need to perfect that relationship because it is a very important, incredibly important, and it is not worth fighting about the $160,000 here. But it's a very good thing to have the liaison position be under the direct control of the governor so he can hire and fire as he sees fit. Remember, Mr. President, the tribes only recommend three names, and the governor gets to pick. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 36 to Senate File 1. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladen?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Hastert, no to aye.
Bouchard, no to
aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Second reading amendment number 36 has failed to pass. Second reading amendment number 1. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 1, page 7, line 4.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, there currently are two constitutional amendments that are going through the process right now. If both of these amendments make it out of the legislature, they will go on the ballot. It will cost the Secretary of State $99,000 each to put them on the ballot and to advertise and so forth. So what this amendment does is it appropriates $198,000 in case both amendments pass. But there's also language that if only one passes to get on the ballot, it's set at $99,000. If neither of them get through, then the Secretary of State gets no money.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk, please call the roll. You're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 1.
Agar.
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
No.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case? No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss? No. Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
Second reading amendment number one to Senate File 1 has passed. Second reading amendment number 2. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senator File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 2, page 15, line 19.
Senator Boner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment does, it doesn't change any of the actual appropriations for our state fair and the Department of Agriculture, but it does give them some surety moving forward. As it stands right now, they stand to lose one of their 8 positions starting on June 30th of 2019. And I think it shouldn't be any mystery that we're looking at some substantial changes in the way the state fair operates, and there's going to be a lot of uncertainty moving forward with changing potentially the organizational structure, changing revenue streams going to that fair. And I just think that it's most important, if we're going to get the most out of those fairgrounds year-round like we're trying to do, increase revenue to the state of Wyoming, that we provide them with this small measure of certainty by making sure that they're going to have their personnel there ready to go, and especially now that they're going to be following under a board, that's going to be, they're going to be more responsive to the needs of the state and the needs of everybody who has a stake in the state fair. So for those reasons, I ask you to support this very modest little amendment to our budget.
Further discussion? Okay, there being none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 has passed. Second reading amendment number 3. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 3, page 16, line 5.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, in the various oil wells we have around the state, there is a certain amount of flaring that goes on where they burn off natural gas. We don't know exactly how much that is. So what this bill does is, what this amendment does is has the joint revenue, has the state Oil and Gas Conservation Commission take a measure of what is being flared off so we can figure out if, in fact, we're losing a good amount of money or not. I think there's a constitutional requirement on us to be able to tax any of the, to put a severance tax on any of the minerals that are coming out. And, in fact, this gas is being flared off. We don't know how much. And so they're supposed to make a report every 6 months to the Joint Appropriations and the Joint Revenue Committee. The beauty of this is the fact that it's in the budget, in a budget bill, so it's only going to be a 2-year study. That should give us a pretty good idea if the amount is sizable or if it isn't.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment, the Oil and Gas Commission now does keep track of the flared gas. They, in fact, give permits for flared gas. The only flared gas they don't is when at the first of the well. After that, the operator has to apply and get a permit for the flared well. So we have that information pretty accurately right now and can get it from the Oil and Gas Commission. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. President, on 4, we have received reports on this, on the Minerals Committee regarding flaring, and it's something we've discussed over the years. But I think the interest here is to really try and do a better job and understand that initial flaring, which we don't keep a close track of. We just kind of have a vague sense of. So I support this because I would like to understand a little bit better what the potential losses on the ad valorem and severance taxes are for the state. I don't think this is an incredibly difficult burden to get a little bit more accurate data throughout the next biennium. So I hope the body will support this.
Further discussion? Okay, all in favor of second reading amendment number 3, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has failed.
Division.
Division being called for. All in favor, please rise. All those opposed, please stand. It's 15-14. The chair votes no, so that second reading amendment number 3 has failed. Second reading amendment number 37. Chief Clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 37, page 16, line 5.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 37 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Timing is everything. We're talking about the same issue here from the Revenue Department. Last session, we talked a little bit about and passed a bill to study this use of discounted cash flow valuation for our ad valorem tax. They're in the middle of that study, and, of course, their report is due on November 30th, 2018. Problem was funding doesn't go to that point, so this is a request for continuing funding that and finishing up that study for our revenue committee. We have some concerns and problems. That was one of our interim topics that we took up, and we'd like to finish that study and have that report finalized, and so we can take some action during this next interim to address the problem. That's the request. There was a funding shortage. I don't know if it was an oversight or what, but it's to allow the department to complete this study, Mr. President. I'd ask for the body's favorable consideration on this amendment.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebau?
Aye.
Aye. 30, aye.
Second reading amendment number 37 has passed. Second reading amendment number 4. Please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 4, page 22, line 8.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I move second reading amendment 4 to Senate file number 1. Folks, this revenue neutral. This was a amendment that got put in out of the Appropriations Committee that inadvertently restricts the use of fuel taxes on motorboats on our parks, and it's going to have a adverse effect on our operations of our state parks if we don't reverse this back to the way they've been able to use it in the past, to the tune of about a million plus. So I'd ask you to your favorable consideration.
Further discussion? All in favor of second reading amendment number 4, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 4 has passed. Second reading amendment number 5. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 5, page 25, line 4.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment number 5 to second reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration.
What this does is there was a governor's energy strategy that was proposed earlier, and it created a whole nother board. And we didn't foresee this happening as far as having three boards when you look at the Pipeline Authority, Infrastructure Authority, and then the governor's office. So we wanted to see how this would work within the Infrastructure Authority for 2 years. That's why it's in a budget amendment. So for 2 years, the Infrastructure Authority will implement the governor's energy strategy, or at least study the fact of implementing it. And you'll notice under line 29 and 30, it says they'll report back to the Joint Minerals. So we Minerals and Business and Economic Development Committee. And so we'll see how it's working for them. And then after 2 years, it'll go away and or we'll create something out of this. So I ask for your favorable aye votes on this.
Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment number 5. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 5 has passed. Second reading amendment number 38. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 38, page 25, line 18.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, I would move second reading amendment number 38 to Senate file number 1. Real quick, this is a bill that would restore funding back to the Board of Control. As I talked earlier today on a different piece of legislation, Board of Control was an entity that was formed in our Constitution at statehood in 1890. It's been funded out of general fund for 128 years. Effectively, what we did last year in the budget was resulted in over a 30% decrease in revenue streams through federal mineral royalties to this program. At this time, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I'm going to withdraw this amendment and come back with a third reading amendment. I do think this is probably too big of a bite. There's other remedies that are working themselves through the Senate that would at least make this program whole for the next biennium. And I'd like to give that a chance before we run this amendment. So at this time, I'd like to withdraw it.
That objection so noted. That amendment has been withdrawn. Second reading amendment number 6. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 6, page 26, after line 21.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 6 to the budget file, Senate file 1. Mr. President, what this bill does is provide a small appropriation to the Game and Fish to certify game bird farms, and it also adds a footnote that respects the money that our hardworking sportsmen, men and women, commit in purchasing licenses. As you know, Mr. President, we've had a couple occasions in the past when, and it still goes on, where sportsmen's licenses are actually, that money is used to fund other things than wildlife. This is one of those areas, Mr. President. We were very careful when we crafted that legislation last year, but this reinforces that and says that of the general fund appropriation, they can only spend the $1,000 in this budget amendment for licensure and certification of game bird farms under WS 23-5-111. You remember that section from last year? We had quite a discussion of it. It says the commission shall not expend any additional funds on licensure or certification of a game bird farm for greater sage-grouse unless the funds are from the fees for licensure of game bird farms as provided in WS 23-5-111. That hits it right on the head, Mr. President. This deals with efforts to farm sage-grouse and make sure that our hardworking sportsmen and men and women who, you know, they buy these licenses, they expect for conservation of that resource, and I hope you will support the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise reluctantly on this. I must say I agree with the sentiment behind the amendment, but I really wonder about the sentence, the commission shall not expend any additional funds on licensure certification of a game bird farm for greater sage grouse, unless the funds are from the fees for those farms. Mr. President, I'm a little concerned. $1,000 in this day and age is not very much. If they have to send an expert in there and whatnot, you could very well run over that. A couple of them could well run over that with travel. Do we run the risk here by tying their hands and micromanaging it just a little too much that will get to the point where they can't do what they're supposed to do under the statutes, and this will have the inadvertent consequence of knocking out the effort we approved, I think it was last session, to see if we can get this captive rearing of sage-grouse done, Mr. President. So very, very reluctantly, I think I'm going to urge the Senate to vote no unless there is firm evidence that this funding is going to be adequate and we aren't going to have any unintended consequence here.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Case, for your second time.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, when the governor signed the bill that approved this last time, he had a letter that went with it that said he was signing it and expected that no money would come from our sportsmen's funds, that the cost of this program would be borne by the licensee. And this amendment, of course, is brought in that spirit, and the Game and Fish can spend as much as they need to, but it needs to come from the applicant, as it should be, because that's the way the legislation was. That was the intent of the way the governor signed the letter. That's what we need to do.
Doesn't have an appropriation.
It has a $1,000 appropriation.
Well, but the way I read it, it shall be read. Anyway, we'll do a roll call vote. If someone is going to call for the A's and A's anyway. Chief Kirk, please call the roll.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
Aye.
Aye. Barnard.
Aye.
Aye. Boner.
No.
No. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
Aye.
Aye. Case.
Aye.
Aye. Christensen. No. Coe?
No.
No. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas? Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Flader?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 15 aye, 15 no.
Second reading number 6 has failed to pass. Second reading amendment number 7. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 7, page 30, line 8.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is an amendment that doesn't take money out or put money into the budget, but it does earmark some money in this healthcare financing line item, which is in the vicinity of 25% of our total budget, when you add the state and the federal funds together, as this does. So, Mr. President, I'm not going to call for the yeas and nays, but if anybody wanted to, or if you wanted to rule that we should, we certainly could. Mr. President, what this does is, you recall we've had some very strong debates here in the Senate, because we were at risk of losing our adult DD providers. And frankly, my committee discovered it. I analyzed the balance sheets. The risk was very real. We did some stopgap things. We required a rebasing study so we could get the problem solved for once and for all. And the trouble is, that as things stand right now, they're not planning to implement. They've done the study. I think it's been very well done. It showed that you needed to pay your frontline workers $13.62 an hour, which is a competitive wage for that kind of work. It'll compete with Walmart successfully. And you need that, or you don't get the people. And that's 80% of their expenditure in these private things is for wages and salaries, and 80% of that is for these frontline workers. So it's critical. The recommendation was $23 million approximately for the biennium, or $11.5 million a year. It's half general fund and half federal. This is Medicaid. And the Appropriations Committee, I'm told, put in $8 million, half general fund and half federal, for this. This would earmark basically the rest of that. So you're talking about $7.5 million for the biennium general fund, or $3.75 a year. That's what you're doing here. It's within this Medicaid. It's a critical component of Medicaid because it's a mandatory service, and we have a moral obligation. This is to take care of the very severely developmentally disabled, the people who cannot, under any circumstance, take care of themselves. And there's maybe a dozen families in the state, Mr. President, who could afford to take care of a family member that was this severely disabled. Maybe it's two dozen, I don't know. But the average family can't. Society has to. And that's why I say we have a moral obligation here. If we don't reimburse them adequately, and a study I think is adequate as to what that is, then what will happen is we're going to lose one or two of them. I've reviewed some balance sheets and income statements this year, and they showed the losses were continuing in spite of what we've done. The limit to how much, when you're 80, 90% dependent on Medicaid, that can go on. You've just got to protect this because we don't have the spare capacity, either in Lander or in the other institutions. We'd have to send these people out of state. You cannot say, well, we just won't take care of them. It would be wrong, and it would lose the cost of the Medicaid program. We'd have a special session. This is something I wouldn't want to take a chance on. So, Mr. President, I urge the Senate to adopt this amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Barnard.
I've been following these providers for the last 4 or 5 years. Every year, their payments go down, down, down. They're at rock bottom now. This is one of these kind of situations where you can pay for them now or pay for them later. If you don't fund this adequately, you'll find your jails, your hospitals, and other things like that going up. And this is a big deal. We can solve it, and I ask for your support.
Senator Von Flader.
So for the sponsor of this amendment, I'd like to ask a question, Mr. President. It has to do with are we guaranteeing their wages with this rebasing, or is it just we give them more money and hope they raise the wages of their workers?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President, and mine goes back a few years, and obviously this is a more updated Navigant study than there was another one a couple years ago, and my recollection was, I think we talked about that yesterday, and I think my recollection was that was the rebasing rate from a couple years ago was to go up about $10-11 million, and I think we went through this a little bit day before yesterday. Was that the Joint Appropriations had put in $6 million as a down payment, and then I thought the discussion was in our budget just the other day that they'd put another $4 million on top of that. So there was, and that was a cumulative, so that there was a $10 million additional. But ultimately, so my question is, one, is it really $11 million a year, or is the new one under the new Navigant study, is that now 20? Plus million a year, and then the other one was, I think the other thing it had to do with rates to pay to the providers, and is there a multi-layered or a bifurcated rate for depending on the severity of the disability, or is it a flat rate that you pay for the services regardless of the nature of the developmental disability or other condition that's creating the need?
Senator Landon, Mr. Vice President, will you come up here?
Mr. President, thank you. I just had a question to the sponsor as well. Maybe he could help me understand a little bit more about what all is contained within this portion of the budget. Given, Mr. President, now Mr. Vice President, the stresses that we have dealt with over the last 2 months with this department and the fact that we've had to reappropriate some funds, I just have a little bit of caution in this area and earmarking without knowing exactly what programs we might impact. If you could help me a little bit with that, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Mr. President? No, sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Vice President, for my first time. Members of the Senate, this is an issue that, as I recall, when we originally had the rebasing, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, and numbers came out, and we chose not to fund it at that level. We've made several attempts since then to get to that level. We've never been able to do it. To answer my colleague, the Majority Floor Leader's, or Majority Floor Leader's question, as I understand it, the rebasing costs called for, and I'm going to talk about Medicaid and the state's match of around $27 million. This gets $4 million a year. For $4 million for general fund, $4 million for the federal side of it, so $8 million we're short. To my colleague from Natrona County, absolutely correct. You know, that'll have to be an internal decision made by the Department of Health where they find that money. To me, members of the Senate, it's a matter of how you prioritize. You look at the Adult DD waiver program and the situation we have around the state. I think it's a high priority. I'm going to speak in favor of this, but I think probably if this should survive, maybe in the second reading, we might have an idea of what other programs might be affected by this. Certainly, we've got in the budget others that have high priorities as well, and we're really allowing the Department of Health to make that internal decision.
Senator Boner?
And thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just to answer some of the questions we heard, being a part of that rebasing committee that oversaw that effort, the committee did go into and differentiate between different types of DD services that an individual or an institution would provide, and we kind of built up the rates from there, especially with the wage rate was the most important factor, as we all know. And the good chairman of Labor and Health pointed out that, you know, it might make us competitive with some big box stores, but frankly, I know of some fast food joints that pay a larger starting wage than what we went with the rebasing study. So it's important to keep that in mind, given this is difficult work, and it's absolutely critical to as a safety net.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a tough one. As we all know, it is a high priority. It's always been a high priority of the Senate. But I can tell you that as far as priorities go in the Health Department, I think it was either last year or the year before, it took $9 million out of the elderly and disabled tax credit. And so, yeah, it's going to come out of somewhere. And more likely than not, it's going to come out of another CNA that's working at a senior center. It's going to come out of those wages instead of these wages. You know, all of these things are a balloon. Now, this is a big balloon. It's $1.8 billion. It's a big balloon. What I can tell you guys is that if we don't have some sideboards in this to say that it's going to be a proportional reduction some way or another, there's going to be another program out there, and I'll bet you it's going to be the senior centers. It's going to come out of that, because those people can come down here and they can get their money restored. But that's not going to happen, you know, until we come back here next year. Unless we come back with a third reading amendment that's got some sideboards on this, that in the easiest way is to say it's going to be a proportional reduction from the other programs administered by the Department of Health, and then it's not very much at all. It's a difference between putting a whole package of sugar in the coffee and putting in 99.9% package of sugar in the coffee. That's the difference that the people are going to find. But I can tell you is that they're going to go right into some programs that are just as sensitive as this, because that's how the departments work. You cut from one, you know, and or you give to one, and they'll cut the most sensitive one. So the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and they'll come down here, and you're going to try adding funds, or you're going to be moving around. So this is a good idea, but it's not quite full-baked, Mr. President. So I'm going to have to vote against it until we can figure out where the money's coming from. or put some sideboards on it to say it's proportional in some way. I think it's a good idea. I think we should do it, but it's got some unintended consequences, and we need to define what those unintended consequences are going to be.
Okay, anyone else? Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to the sponsor, I'm tracking what you're doing here. We got the JAC appropriation, then you're moving in this study that has rebased rates. So it's moving something up. It's moving the expense up. I'm just not clear if you could make clear just how much more we're going to be spending with this rebased rates study that came out on January 31st.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Anyone else? Senator Scott, second time.
Mr. President, and I will say frankly that there were more questions asked than I could sort out, so I'm going to do my best on these. The history here. There was a rebasing done 3 years ago, I believe, 2 years ago. Labor Committee reviewed that at a January meeting that we had. We found that that rebasing had come in magically right where the department wanted it to and assumed a wage for the frontline workers who are 64% of the total expenditure. That was simply not competitive with what the largest big box store, I shouldn't use the name on the floor, but you know who I mean, had posted on their front door that week. And that just wasn't going to work. And so I asked to see their balance sheets and income statements and reached the conclusion, Mr. President, that we were going to bankrupt four of them out of the 11 in the current biennium. We demanded that that rebasing be redone. We put in some stopgap monies that fortunately have been enough to avoid the bankruptcies, but they haven't solved the problem from what I've seen, Mr. President. With regard to the funding here, it's the recommendation, the figures that I gave you, my understanding is, and I will double check on that, that it is in addition to where the budget for this biennium stands right now. So we're going up by that amount. The total, and I'll give it to you, is a total of $23 million, of which 11.5 is general fund and 11.5 is federal. The Joint Appropriations Committee put in 8, divided evenly, this earmarks the balance. With regard to discussion where it's going to come from, I wanted to find a source, Mr. President, but the potential sources are all buried in this one budget line item that covers, as I figured, about a quarter of our total budget. So I can't tell you the precise source. With the budget and the detail that we have here before us, you can't get at the source. So I've got to work with what I've got here in the budget. And so I think the best way to do it is to earmark it to make sure it'll probably come from a large variety of places. You might see the reimbursement for some of those that are not critically dependent on Medicaid go down a little bit, but you're talking about $5+ million in a budget that is total about $1.2 billion. It's going to be awful hard to trace where it comes from, but I'm afraid if we don't do this, we are going to lose one or more of these adult DD residential providers. I think, and I will double check this, that they are not paid on a flat rate, that it does go up and down at least some. I don't know if it's adequate or not with the severity of the patients. It almost has to, Mr. President. And when you meet some of these patients, your heart just goes out to them. They're living, breathing, feeling human beings, but through no fault of their own. They have terrible disabilities. They're as severe in these residential community providers as anybody in our facility in Lander, and they're very expensive to take care of, and we've got to do it. The risks of not doing it scare me, Mr. President, so I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Okay. Anybody want the ayes and nays? Okay, there being no call for them. All in favor of second reading amendment number 7, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 8. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 8, page 30, line 8.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 8 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the Senate, what this is doing is providing the positions and funding for and moving expenses to the medication donation program that we have in the state of Wyoming. And this is different than what I talked about earlier in the session. This is a kind of a separate issue. Right now, there are 180 prescriptions on their wait list, and these patients have been waiting up to 3 months to get their drugs to come in. And many of the medications are likely in the program, but they're in boxes waiting to be processed. 85% of the time that they're spending right now with such a limited staff is spent on processing applications and prescriptions. It leaves very little time for processing donations. And they've indicated that it would take about 2 months to catch up on their backlog of donations that have come in, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. And they've offered a couple different options through the medication donation program. This is the lighter of this of the ones. And the increase would allow them to access or to be distribute a value of over $16 million worth of medications that they're doing right now. Currently, the program, we built it in 2005. We haven't made any adjustments to them for 12 years. This thing is just really grown magnificently. They've outgrown the facility they're in. They have boxes of donated medications from as far away as Florida in all kinds of boxes and crates all over the place. Part of the funds here allow them to move from the existing facility that they're in south of town to the Hathaway building, and there's over a $6,000 savings in rent right there because the state owns the other building. So we're going to get them moved into a bigger facility and allocate resources. As of right now, they're able to get these donations out across the state in the entire state, but they're having difficulty processing them because of the large demand. They're getting such a huge influx of donations in, and then the requests around the state of Wyoming. So to facilitate this, it's been 12 years since we've adjusted anything, and that's all this is doing, Mr. President, members of the Senate, is just giving them what they could use as a small increase to really help this program out. And that's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, the previous amendment used footnote number 11. Will the LSO just automatically adjust that and make it 12?
Yeah.
Yes, they will. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I hate to rise for a spending amendment, but I do in this case. Mr. President, we had a bill on this topic. I came out of Committee 10, and the question was asked I think quite properly by one of the members, as to whether there was sufficient demand for these drugs to justify this expansion. Apparently, if we expand, we can get the drugs donated. That's not the problem. The problem is being able to handle them and distribute them. The value of what's going to be distributed is, I think the estimate I remember was $16 million potentially. And this would see that that happens. But when that question was asked, a representative from the community health centers, of which there are a dozen, I believe, around the state in various places, stood up and said, yes, they had a great deal of unfilled demand. This is a big help, Mr. President, for those who cannot afford their medications. I think it will do good all out of proportion to the budget that's requested here. So I'm going to vote aye on the amendment.
Okay, further discussion. Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, and this would be a question for our JAC members, but did the Department of Health bring this request to the JAC? And if they did, why did the JAC decide to turn it down? Just wondering if this was such a critical program, if they did come and ask for funding through JAC or the Senate appropriations.
Okay, further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any memory of the of Department of Health asking about this program at all.
Anybody else for the first time? Okay, Senator Hastert, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, and I think the chairman's right. There wasn't anything that department had came in to get turned down. It was partially. My inquiry as to where this was in the realization, and some of this information came a little bit later in our proceedings as far as the realization of the fact that they've outgrown that facility that they're in, the requirements that necessary to move, to another facility. So this wasn't something. It's the director of the Department of Health was in the Committee 10 this morning and indicated that, what a fabulous program this is. It's, just one of those that has been off the radar, just quietly doing the great work that it has, bringing in the medications and distributing them out. And this is really, for people in need, as the good chairman of Committee 10 indicated, that, that you have to qualify for these. And it helps fill that gap for individuals in need. And so it's done some really great things. It's been nationally recognized, and I would ask for your support.
Okay. Chief Clerk, please call the roll. You're voting on second reading amendment number 8.
Agar? Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
No.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
Aye.
Aye. Bonplater?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no.
Second reading, amendment number 8 has passed. Second reading, amendment number 9. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 9, page 30, line 13.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 9 to Senate file 1 and ask for favorable consideration on it. Mr. President, everything that was said about the last bill and the bill before that goes double for this amendment. This has a payback of 14,000 to 1. and will greatly reduce the odds of Earth being hit by a giant asteroid. Now, Mr. Chairman, what this, Mr. President, what this amendment actually does is, one of the things we really want to do is these people that we have to spend so much money on because they are so disabled that the good chairman of Labor and Health had been talking about. They have all kinds of different varieties of care, and the most expensive, most intense, and most expensive is when they're in residential facilities. There are a large number of them that are being kept at home and taken care of at home, and that is, frankly, where we want to keep them because that is the cheapest to us, cheapest on the state. And quite often their caretakers are their relatives, are their parents, are their children, are their brothers or sisters, and they are their registered caretakers. What this bill does is it gives them a respite, gives them respite care. That's exactly what it is, so that they can go out and get groceries. They can go out and do something for a few hours. The amount of and they don't get themselves burned out. The amount of money we have here actually is just, frankly, seed money to the amount of money that we save from having these people have to go into treatment facilities. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that this is an act of kindness to those who are taking care of their loved ones, but I think it also makes a lot of sense to go ahead and give the respite care to those people who are taking care of their disabled loved ones.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter? No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott? No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Fladern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 aye, 3 no.
Second reading amendment number 9 has passed. Second reading amendment number 10. Reading clerk, please read that one in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 10, page 30, line 17.
Senator Agar.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading amendment number 10 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. I know this amendment looks long, but it's really quite simple. What it's doing, Mr. President, is it's going in and restoring the funding throughout the biennium for the Pioneer Home and the Retirement Center in Basin, as the governor recommended originally. Mr. President, these communities see the writing on the wall, and they are currently trying to move towards some different options that were suggested in the Appropriations Committee meeting. They're just asking for some time as they explore these different options. Mr. President, if we move to the second page of the amendment on line 10, we see some verbiage that deletes the study that the Department of Health is going to do. And the reason I did that, Mr. President, is that's a standalone bill that we're looking at currently on the floor. And I was told when I was elected we don't legislate through footnotes, so that's why I did that. With that, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, I made this mention of this the other day. The concern is the condition of some of these patients in these facilities, and I know I speak for one who, if it was privatized, if prices were to increase or close down completely or whatever happens, this person from his counselor that visits him on a regular basis, because there are some mental concerns there as well, he would end up in no doubt, in the state mental hospital. And we know how expensive that is. So this is, we talk about prevention, best practices, least expensive route. This is one of those. And if we close or privatize or, and it happens to these facilities, a lot of these patients will end up in a much more expensive, costly program that we'll have to fund as a state legislature. So I'd ask your support on this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Dockstader.
Chairman, to the sponsor, I'm trying to get a running tally on just how much we're spending here. I don't know if you have that. General fund, federal funds, other funds, $8 million, $2 million. Bringing this back in, as I'm reading it, we're going to spend a lot more money here. So word of caution then, I don't see a need to delete legislation that's already on the floor.
Senator Byrne.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment. Mr. President, we have Department of Health is going to be doing a study about both these facilities and whether or not they can and should be privatized. If there is funding that is required to continue running them, they are funded through half of the biennium, through June 30th, 2019, and come the supplemental budget. This legislature can then fund the second half if, in fact, they are still state institutions.
Anyone else for the first time before the sponsor speaks for a second time? Senator Meyer.
You know, normally it takes a little while to run through and get these things sold, even if you think they're going to be privatized. You know, it probably won't be privatized by the time we come back here. And I think what this does is give some, comfort to the folks that are in there that if the study doesn't go through, that they're not going to be kicked out on the side of the street. And so it's more or less, Mr. President, I think, something of goodwill on the legislators' part or on our part to make sure that it is funded through the biennium. Because if it does come back with a study that they indeed should be privatized, more likely than not, it's going to occur after we meet again. And so you're going to need some funds for transition, trying to figure out where people are going and what's going on, because we aren't just going to throw people out on the side of the street in these situations. They've been state facilities for a good number of years. So I think it's reasonable to assume that we're going to need some money in the supplemental anyway. We might as well, I think, advance this particular amount of money so it's there for whatever needs that we need to have it in the future. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, Senator Burns, for your second time.
Mr. President, for my second time, nobody's talking about kicking anybody out on the sidewalk, and we're not, and any language about closing the facilities or the facilities are to cease being has been removed. As I told them in committee, I love Thermopolis. It's one of my favorite towns, and it is a retirement community, and the idea that we would just suddenly shut this thing is not at all the intention involved here. One of the reasons that we're only funding it for 1 year is that come next year when we have the supplemental budget, we'll have a better idea of what's going on with these facilities. If they're in serious negotiation, if they've cut a deal or something, then in fact the legislature will know enough, and let's say it's 6 months after that, the legislature will know enough to appropriate that much money up until any transition that might take place. If indeed no deal comes through and the study shows that it's better off still in state hands, then the legislature then can turn around and give them full funding for the following year.
Okay, anyone else? Just 1 second. Senator Dockstader, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, on that point of tossing people out, I've watched this governing body in the space of about a week to 10 days save a nursing home situation and make sure that people were taken care of, let alone a full year. We can come back in a year if we're not where we need to be and make the correction. Careful with the money, folks.
Okay. Senator Agar, for your second time.
And simply what the communities are asking for is a little bit of stability and assurance as they look forward at some of these nonprofit options and options that were laid out in front of them in the Appropriations Committee. I will point out to my fine colleague behind me that this amendment is wrote in a manner where it could be divided if the striking of the language with the study worries him. Thank you.
Okay. Will Chief Kirk please call the roll? We're voting on second reading amendment number 10.
Agar.
Aye.
Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin.
No.
No. Barnard.
No.
No. Boner.
No.
No. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
No.
No. Case. No. Christensen.
Aye.
Aye. Coe.
No.
Dockstetter.
No.
Driscoll.
No.
No. Ellis.
Aye.
Emmerich.
No.
No. Hastert.
No.
No. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
No.
No. Landon.
No.
No. Meyer.
Aye.
Aye. Moniz.
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott. No. Pappas.
No.
No. Perkins.
No.
No. Peterson.
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss.
Aye.
Aye. Scott.
No.
No. Von Vladen.
No.
Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
No.
No. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 11 aye, 19 no.
Second reading amendment number 10 has failed. Second reading amendment number 11. Reading clerk, please read that in.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 11, page 34, line 11.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment seeks to do is in our traditional cash grant welfare system, the POWER program. We've had tremendous success, Mr. President, in that program, and a good part of the success is due to the way the Family Services bureaucracy has implemented the welfare reform that we enacted now more than 20 years ago. We've been at times the leading state, at times second, at times third in the nation, in the way we have reduced the welfare rolls and gotten people out, come on, gotten them out promptly into the workforce. And I am concerned, as the chairman of Committee 10, I'm concerned that we could lose a lot of ground there due to the turmoil where we lost the department head to another state, and there's been an interregnum there, Mr. President, and a temporary filling of that from another department with a very different philosophy. And, Mr. President, what this simply asks is that we get a simple report on the number, on a semiannual basis, the number of people on the welfare program, POWER program, broken down, and the three categories that they normally use. It isn't going to be very onerous, but I think simply having knowledge that the legislature is looking at this will prevent a good deal of mischief that could occur and keep that program on the straight and narrow. It expires, reporting expires with the budget bill, so it's only a two-year thing. And I think the need will expire, I hope, then, as things settle down there, Mr. President. But I think it's very important. It's not going to cost any extra money. So it's just a simple, very simple report.
Further discussion? All in favor of second reading amendment number 11, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 11 has passed. Second reading amendment number 12. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 12.
Senator Hastert.
34, line 23.
Excuse me. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 12 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable recommendation. Mr. President, when a motion was made in our JAC meetings, it was felt by the bringer that this was this was sort of missed. It's kind of a technical correction. The footnote that this references allows the governor to transfer up to $250,000 between any of the divisions. And all this is, does is just ensure that it's understood that you cannot take it from residential treatment beds, which is in the wording, or BOCES or group home beds. And that's all the amendment does.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 12. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 13. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 13, page 42, line 16.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, move second reading amendment number 13 to Senate file 1. Members of the Senate, this goes into the Wyoming Tourism Board, section 066, and I would say reinstates $2.223358 million. That somehow was taken out of that, and I'm not quite sure how all that happened. But members of the Senate, the tourism industry, the tourism industry is our number two industry, and I have to say, it is a bright spot in our economy. I don't think there's any question about that. Yellowstone National Park, over 4 million people visited. And I want to say one thing about that in particular, because if you look at the second sheet there, you'll see a breakdown of lodging tax, but you also see what the states surrounding us spend annually. And you'll see that Montana spends $19 million, South Dakota $15.6 million, Colorado $18.9 million a year, and Wyoming at $10.8 million. Montana's had great success, even though 95% of Yellowstone National Park is in Wyoming. They've had great success selling Yellowstone as being in Montana. There's no question about that. So the tourism industry is a $3.5 billion industry. It's a huge industry. It employs some 32,000 people. It's the largest private sector employer in Wyoming is the travel industry. Definitely it generated $186 million in tax revenues. And this all comes back, you know, we get sales tax back and we collect lodging tax. So the tourism industry, I feel we need to figure out a way to enhance it and make it competitive, because the competitive nature of the tourism industry is out there. We're competing with Utah, with seven national parks. We're competing with Colorado. We're competing with Montana, with Glacier, who also claims that Yellowstone's in Montana. So this would put us on a more even threshold, I guess, to compete with these surrounding states. And, you know, you look at the budgets, I showed you that, the lodging tax collections, air service, another component. If we aggressively and successfully promote tourism in the state of Wyoming, that means more air service utilization. With that, I'd stand for questions on the amendment, urge that you adopt it.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I just wanted to let the body know that this was an amendment that was brought in from the other side. It would not and did not pass the Senate appropriations side of the room down the hall. So rising in support of the good senator's comments, I think he's spot on. I think it's important that we keep this funding to the level that it was in the previous year. So on and for the amendment.
Senator Driscoll. Oh, excuse me, Senator Christensen.
Thank you. I'm honored. Mr. President, you know, on this bill, we've heard a lot of the reasoning behind it, but I'd just like to share with you some experiences and conversations I've had. When people come into our side of the state, historically, they kind of get attracted to that spot. But what I've noticed lately is people are coming into that side of the state, particularly using the airport, and driving, and they're passing through that community on into Wyoming. Tourism truly is a Main Street business, and each one of you have Main Streets in your district, and it affects the shops, it affects the galleries, it affects the Western wear stores, you name it. But they are spreading out across the state, and I think it's because they've seen some of these areas a lot, and they're curious what the rest of Wyoming's doing. The ads that tourism has put out are remarkable about stirring interest to go well beyond some of those very high-profile sites. So I'd encourage us to vote for this. This keeps business rolling.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Perriman, President, I'm just curious here, based on the discussion from my colleague from the western part of the state, is this $2.223 million earmarked for the western part of the state? Seems like most of the discussion is revolving around that component, so just a question on that.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. The question about the amendment and the discussion about the amendment. One thing, the $10.8 million that was cited as the state tourism office budget, and then we had state annualized state tourism office budgets from the surrounding states included in that comparison. And I'm just wondering, when we add in the local tourism board dollars into this situation, how does that compare, and do we know how much when we add the total amount of all the dollars, what that is, and two, how does that compare with our surrounding states, and do we have any measure of the effectiveness of those types of things? I mean, this all kind of works together for towards tourism. So I'd ask the sponsor about that.
Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, thank you very much. I think we're getting sidetracked a little off what the amendment is and into a general conversation about tourism. I'd like to point out that this amendment came from the other body and was done in error. The bringer of the amendment, I was, best of my knowledge, is fixing it. Should you enact this amendment, whatever it works as, it will move it to where tourism has taken a 22% cut since 2015. It'll take the biggest cut of any agency we have in state government. And it's the only one we have that brings dollars back in that we spend money on. So I'd encourage you to make them whole. If we want to have a discussion about what tourism does or doesn't do, let's do it in a forum when we've got time and can do it right. But let's fix the mess up that came through appropriations.
Senator Barnard.
When I was on the TRW, well, I am on the TRW committee, Diane Schober comes in and tells us what we get for every dollar we spend. And if I'm right, we get every dollar we spend, we get $10 back. So if we're going to spend $2 million, you're going to get a whole bunch more back. It's easy.
No, motherhood and apple pie. America. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on the amendment, as you vote in this amendment, I ask you to remember the saying from that great sage, Senator Everett McKinley Dirksen of Illinois, million here, million there, pretty quick it adds up to real money, Mr. President.
Okay, anyone else? Senator Christensen, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I believe that was about $1 million invested here and $1 million invested there. Returns real money.
Thanks for that clarification. Okay. Ready for the vote? Chief Kirk, please call the roll. You're voting on second reading amendment number 13.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin? No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Richard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
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 Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert? Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebap?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 20 aye, 10 no.
Second reading amendment number 13 has failed.
Oh.
Oh. Second reading amendment number 13 is passed. Second reading amendment number 14. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 14, page 45, line 26.
Senator Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move second reading amendment number 14 to Senate File number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Basically, what happened here, Mr. Chairman, is the University of Wyoming had made the decision not to pay the employer-paid benefits for their 4-H educators throughout the state in the counties. When I talked to my county commissioners, I asked them if they knew about this, they didn't even know about it. And then I asked them how they planned on paying for it, and at that point they had really no idea. So anyway, JAC mandated basically the University of Wyoming to pay 1 year's worth of employer benefits. Some counties throughout the state decided not to do that, and were in jeopardy of losing their 4-H educators, and their constituents throughout the county created such an uproar that they reconsidered that. But basically, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do here is direct them to pay their 4-H educators employer benefits for the biennium, which would in turn give the counties that are going to be responsible for this a time to adjust their budgets to accommodate this. And with that, I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, I don't have a lot to add other than this is revenue neutral. Actually, this lays within their block grant. This was something that was taken away, and we're just actually making it whole for a period of time. Still has a study. It'll still go on, but it gives a little breathing room to our counties. 4-H is the most direct link we have with the university to our communities that are rural.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
No.
No. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
Aye.
Aye. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 26 aye, 4 no.
Second reading amendment number 14 has passed. Second reading amendment number 31. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 31, page 34, line 9.
Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move amendment 31 to Senate File 1.
Second reading amendment.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate
number
File
31.
31.
Start over again, Senator Kinski.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate second reading amendment number 31 to Senate File 1. With that, I'll sit down. Folks, this is a this relates to the institutions we have in the state of Wyoming that support boys in Sheridan and girls in boys in Worland and girls in Sheridan. They are institutions of confinement and rehabilitation. If you'll think back, some of us were not here, but many of us you were, when you created the ETS department. And up until that was created, those two institutions took care of all of their security and all of their surveillance systems, the cameras, the alarms, the monitoring, everything, which is so critical to safety of the staff, so critical to safety of the students. And as this is not enough, it's required by federal law under PREA, the Prison Rape Elimination Act. Well, after the consolidation within the last year or so, these institutions were told by ETS, we will no longer maintain those. You're on your own. Well, the institutions, A, don't have the expertise, no longer have the budget because it was absorbed into ETS. In the one institution, they've been completely withdrawn. The other, they're giving them a transition but made it clear that they've got to get out of it. I've been given varying explanations. I guess it doesn't matter. The purpose of this is to tell ETS for this next biennium, take care of them. Take care of the cameras, maintain the locks, maintain the security systems while we figure out exactly what's going on. And then as a fallback, the paragraph above on line 5 says, DFS, meanwhile, get a budget request ready for the next biennium if we can't get the thing resolved. Hopefully, we can get ETS to the table and get something worked out that is mutually agreeable to everybody. But in the meantime, we just cannot wait to make sure that the safety of our staff and these students is taken care of. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? We're voting on second reading amendment number 15. No, excuse me, number 31. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment 31 has passed. Ms. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I briefly have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
Social media has just informed me that it is the birthday of one of our good senators here in the legislature, and I think Senator Landon.
Oh, we already did
this. Did we already sing, and I was gone? So I'm about how many hours behind? Happy birthday, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Rothfuss, were you behind on your votes as well? I don't think so.
Aye.
For the third time, happy birthday, Senator Landon.
When did we do that?
Now that you've lost my concentration. Okay. Second reading amendment number 15. Has that been read in? Read that in, please.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 15, page 65, line 20.
Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Before I move this amendment, I'd like to wish Senator Landon a happy birthday and move second reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is for a two-year pilot project for a voucher system. It involves use of money that comes from the federal mineral royalties into the school foundation account. It takes $1.6 million out of the account, and it uses it to fund the education for 2 years of 100 students in private schools, Mr. President. And the way it works is to make sure that it's a viable test. It allows for 200 families in our public schools right now to make an application as established by the Department of Education for the ability to receive a voucher. The voucher's fiscal amount, Mr. President, is $8,000 per year. And, of course, this, there's 200 students that can make an application. The department will randomly assign 100 of the 200 to receive the voucher. That way it's going to be a real test, Mr. President. It'll actually... there's no selection bias, and you know, other than all 200 people, 200 families are desirous of the voucher, but 100 are going to stay in public schools, and 100 are going to go to private schools and use the $8,000 voucher. We'll test those students both years. We'll see how the two groups do. We'll find out if this is a viable mechanism. Yes, it's got an expenditure of $1.6 million, but recall these students will no longer be in our public schools, so the $8,000 that we're spending to educate in the private school would be roughly, probably we'd save another $10,000 on top of that, Mr. President. So this is an amendment that actually would save you money. The total cost of these children in our schools now is probably about $3.6 million. I'm using $18,000 per student. If there's a better number, you guys can tell me. And so instead of spending $3.6 million, we'll only spend $1.6 million. Constitutionality, it's as constitutional as for two reasons. One is we use the intercept the federal mineral royalties going to the program, Mr. President. Second reason is that it's a public benefit. It says as constitutional as broadband, as some of the other things that we have proposed, where we contract for services that have a public good. I ask for your favorable consideration, Mr. President. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. Chairman, I don't necessarily stand opposed to it, but I question if it's really appropriate to start a voucher program in a budget footnote. I really do. I'm not sure, guys, when we talk about what we're doing.
Address the chair, please. No. Just.
I thought I was coming to the chair.
No.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Driscoll, go ahead.
Can I keep standing upright?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I actually do question whether we ought to be doing voucher programs, new programs. I'm kind of in favor of the concept, but I'd like to see it be more of some type of an interim program or something. We've got some different input from the schools on it. I would like to know what the schools, what the superintendent thinks of it, because this is a pretty hefty mandate with a lot of kids involved.
Thank you, Senator Driscoll. Okay, further discussion. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, rising opposed to the amendment, this is no time to be considering a voucher program. It just is not the right time. We got so much pressure right now on school funding, K-12 funding. We got a $200 million deficit every year we're looking at for the next couple of years. So this is not the time. If you wanted to talk about a voucher program, we need to really have a look at it. I mean, if we're going to do it, it's probably going to take two interims of study to really figure out if we want to do it or not. So to have this come at the 11th hour and say, you know, let's try this for $1.6 million, I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Senator Von Flader.
Thank you, Mr. President. My curiosity goes to why we would fund it with federal mineral royalties, and it has to do with education, and I don't know why we're reaching into those, which are expended at the moment, and probably we'll have to take it from somewhere else.
Senator Burns.
Oh, no, I'm just getting up, Mr. President.
Okay. Further discussion. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, I have always struggled with this very issue, and it just seems to me that our state is so small in population and so large in area that we struggle to just keep our small schools open and to keep everything funded. And so we actually already have a quasi-voucher system in our charter schools. The money follows the student. And so I really question the need for this particular piece and in the budget bill.
Further discussion. Senator Case, for your second time.
Thank you very much, President. And I appreciate the broad support for this concept. I think it's appropriate to deal with school funding in the budget. This is where it is. This is a program that potentially can solve our funding crisis in education. It has more potential than anything else I've heard. Mr. President, we use federal mineral royalties because we need to intercept this improves the constitutionality because we intercept funds that aren't dedicated for education to come in. Okay? Mr. President, our charter school system, I've never been a big supporter of because what that works out to be, in my mind, my opinion, is a private school with public funds. And I have found that to be more harmful to our regular school districts than this program, which can be spread all the way across the state, 100 students for 2 years. That they will come from various districts all around the state. No one district will suffer any particular hit. It's a chance to see side-by-side comparison. How do these 100 students do versus another 100 students? Where are you going to get another chance to do that? It's perfect for the budget. It's a perfect amendment, Mr. President. Ask for your support.
Okay, Chief Clerk, call the roll, please. We're voting on amendment. Second reading, amendment number 15.
Agar. Aye. Aye. Anderson.
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton.
No.
No. Baldwin.
No.
No. Barnard.
No.
No. Boner.
No.
No. Bouchard.
Aye.
Aye. Burns.
No.
No. Case.
Aye.
Aye. Christensen.
No.
No. Coe.
No.
No. Dockstetter.
No.
No. Driscoll. No. Ellis?
No.
No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
No.
No. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
No.
No. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
No.
No. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 9 ayes, 21 no.
Second reading amendment number 15 has failed. Second reading amendment number 18. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 18, page 66, line 14.
Senator Kinski. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 18 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. President, when the Department of Education appeared before appropriations during our budget hearings, one of their line items was they wanted $1 million for professional learning communities. And after a certain amount of questioning, we started realizing that this is basically training for members of the staff and administration. And so I went and checked back home because up in Sheridan District 2, which is actually one of the best districts in the state, we have some of the highest ACT scores, the second highest pay for staff there. For the past couple of years, they've been running a principal's academy, which they've been wanting the State Department of Education to take a good look at, and hadn't. So they were there. I introduced them to members, senior members of the Department of Ed, and they promised they would go up and look at what the what Sheridan was doing, Sheridan 2 was doing. And I thought, well, this money should go to them for having done this. Well, they went up there, and they said they were very impressed. And thank you very much, but we're going to go with some outside professional group of consultants that are going to come in here and basically reinvent the same wheel that Sheridan's been doing for the last 2 years. Now, what Sheridan has done is working through various private organizations is Sheridan District 2 is they've gotten it funded otherwise, so they don't need state funds for this. But the Department of Ed still wanted to go ahead. So what this amendment does is it cuts $500,000 from that particular line item and tells them, no, we're not interested in you doing what Sheridan 2 is already doing. And there are a number of school districts in the state that have benefited from that Principal's Academy, and it's actually a very good outfit. Let's see how they do before we start paying $500,000 out to outside organizations. And the part of the thing that bothered me about this greatly was they were spending this money like it wasn't theirs, like it was somebody else's money, and it reflected an attitude that I see, frankly, quite too often in government.
Senator Perkins, would you come up here, please? Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, to what my colleague from Sheridan stated, I would add, the out-of-state consultant has been here, has taught seminars, planted the seeds that are now spreading throughout the state, and actually there's various districts across the states that are participating in this Principal's Learning Academy. And what it is, instead of what these consultants do is fly in, teach some seminars, and fly out again, this Principal's Academy, for which there's tremendous enthusiasm from not-for-profit donors, enough to fund it, is that it's hands-on, boots on the ground, helping these people, not in a classroom sense of here's what you ought to do, but here is how to do it. And the reception amongst the districts that are participating has been wonderful. They have a ramp-up program to take it statewide on a judicious basis. And I think when we've already got not-for-profits supporting the same effort, I agree with my colleague, it probably makes sense to step back with spending government money for something that's already being done. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wasserberger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had a question. Is this a part of our statewide system of supports? Is this the SOS program that we have?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. The other question I'd ask is, so ultimately, why would you only take half of it if that's the if this is something that's already being done? Why are we only taking half of it instead of all of it?
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, this is not part of the statewide system of support. I don't believe it. Maybe should be. This is an exciting program, and I got involved in it. In the last year or so, we've had different meetings with some of the Sheridan 2 people, and I'll tell you what, they are really getting it done. There's just no question that it's a great program. I've got two schools over in my district that are participating in it now, and it's worthwhile. And so this is a good amendment, and as we try to think outside the box a little bit in education, this is a good way to start doing that. This program relies on data, data. What is somebody doing? How are they doing it? Keep track of it. Record it. Know what you're doing with it. Well, this Principals Academy is a good deal, and I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time? Senator Wasserberger, for your second time, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. President. The next question would be, you're talking about $500,000 here. How many people will this employ? I understand what professional learning communities is. In fact, I've attended several of the conferences that are put on, and it is outstanding. I don't have a problem with that, but I'm just wondering what we're doing here and why the money's going to Sheridan number two.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Burns, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, in answer to the majority floor leader's question, the reason that we took only half the money is because I'm not sure exactly what the other half is for. I think it is conferences for the type of professional learning communities. It isn't just outside consultants coming in. And so because I didn't know exactly what that was for, I didn't want to deprive them of that money. In answer to the good senator from Gillette, his question was, why is this money going to Sheridan? The money's not going to Sheridan. We're cutting the money from the budget. We're saving $500,000 from the education budget. Sheridan is funding this on its own through private donations, and they've been doing this for the last couple of years. They're not asking for any money. And the reason they're doing it as opposed to anybody else, I think, is, frankly, I think they've stumbled upon a good system in which to do it.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 18. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Agar?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Koch?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Ellis?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert, no. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer?
Aye.
Aye. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
Aye.
Aye. Rothfuss?
No.
No. Scott?
Aye.
Bonflader?
No.
No. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 25 aye, 5 no.
Second reading amendment number 18 has passed. Second reading amendment number 16. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 16, page 66, line 9.
Senator Tinsky.
Mr. President, thank you. I move second reading amendment 16 to Senate File 1. Our story on this begins about 3 years ago when, as we've now named him, dubbed him, the great senator from the Northwest, struggled mightily in the budget session to restore a position for the Board of Education that had been eliminated from the budget. So to clarify, you've got the Board of Education, which is professional educators and citizens who are unpaid volunteers but have great expertise, and then you have the Wyoming Department of Education, and their budget comes within the WDE. About 3 years ago, the position that the Board of Education really needs for all the responsibilities they're charged with was eliminated, and the great senator from the Northwest led the floor debate to have the position put back. Subsequently, at the recommendation of the WDE, the position has been cut and cut again to where now it's a half-time position. And the board is struggling mightily to fulfill all the obligations that have been imposed upon them by this body. So it is not a clerical position. This is a professional position that has to listen to stakeholders, the board, the department, the legislature, and promulgate a variety of things. One is the Wyoming Accountability and Education Act. All the standards for that have been laid to the Board of Education, and they need this help to do it. The Uniform Content and Performance Standards, standards for special needs populations, the statewide assessment system, so critical to accountability, statewide linking of student performance to schools and district leaders, data-driven outcomes, which is not an easy thing to do. And so I've got a list here of multiple statutes that the board has been charged with, and they're just not going to be able to deliver in the fashion we really expect and our students deserve without having this full-time assistance. And I'd point out it continues. We had a computer science bill here before us, and in that bill we mandated that computer science content standards should be written, and of course that goes to the Wyoming Board of Education. So as Churchill said to President Roosevelt, give us the tools and we'll finish the job. They just need the tools to do the job the way that we really expect of them. On and for the amendment, Mr. President.
Senator Cope.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment as well. We have loaded up the State Board of Education with a laundry list of extra work that they have to do. Going back to 2011 when we passed the Wyoming Accountability and Education Act, and I still believe strongly that a coordinator's position for the State Board of Education, as we try to bring this whole thing together, whether or not it's ESSA, which of course the department is very involved in, but the State Board of Education is involved in, Wyoming Accountability and Education Act, I could go on and on, but I think this is a good amendment, and I'd urge that you support it.
Further discussion? Okay, we're voting. This has an appropriation. It's been reauthorized, though. I don't think we need a roll call vote. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 16 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 17. Reading clerk, please read in that amendment.
Senate File 1.
Mr. President.
Senator Byrne.
Point of order. I've just been reminded by staff that in fact, was new money. So a roll call is required.
Okay. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
He is. I think he's right.
That's one mistake I made in the last 5 minutes.
Agar?
No.
No. Anderson?
No.
No. Anselmi Dalton?
Aye.
Aye. Baldwin?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Bouchard?
No.
No. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
No.
No. Ellis? No. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
No.
No. Kinski?
Aye.
Aye. Landon?
No.
No. Meyer?
No.
No. Moniz?
Aye.
Aye. Nethercott?
No.
No. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger? No. President Bebout?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 14 aye, 16 no.
Second reading number 16 has failed to pass. Second reading amendment number 17.
Center file number 1, second reading amendment number 17, page 66, line 14.
Senator Boehner.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 17 to Senate file 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you'll remember there's a pilot program going on over the last school year for our farmer school program attempting to entice donations to our school lunch programs from local livestock producers. I'm glad to say I have some initial results from that pilot project, and they look fairly good. But as a reminder, the way that this works in particular is that the Department of Education would split at a 50-50 basis with local school districts the processing costs, and only the processing costs, for donated livestock. So the idea is that a farmer or rancher would donate a beef or a sheep or a swine to the local school district, and the only real expense incurred with that would be the processing costs, which the state of Wyoming would pick up half of those. Overall, those processing costs on average are about $2.25 per pound, whereas commercially available meat is on average about $350 per pound. So for every pound of protein donated, you have about $1.25 worth of savings. So overall, the Department of Education for this current school year spent a little over $4,000, $4,196.45. That was specifically for 12 animals that were donated, but overall it enticed over 43 donations to these school districts, and they actually had a competitive program where the best school district with the best program won the matching funds. So overall, very successful program. Just doing some of the quick math, which for every dollar that was spent, we got about $4 worth of savings once again. So I know we hear a lot about how, you know, if you spend this money now, you're going to save money later, but in this case, you save money first and then you spend it. So for that reason, we're just by analyzing the original $25,000 out of their budget that the original Senate file last year stipulated, and we're just continuing the program and continuing to see it grow, and just want to keep up the momentum. This certainly is going to solve our funding issues in K-12, but it's going to increase the day-to-day quality of life for our students. I think that makes it worthwhile. So stand for questions.
Further discussion? Senator Agar?
Mr. President, thank you. Just a little more on this program. In my neck of the woods, not only did we see the carcass donated, but we also saw production animals donated in an area to manage those production animals. So the kids are seeing the actual from birth, from conception to the plate, and it's had a great impact in my neck of the woods. Thank you.
Okay, we're voting on second reading amendment number 17. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has passed. Second reading amendment number 32. Read that in, please. Senator Burns.
Before we move into the 300s, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, sir, you may.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a good friend of mine, and if you would give her privilege of the floor, she has an announcement to make. We actually all know her from her lobbying days, Marion Orr, the mayor of Cheyenne.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can I stand? Thank you very much. This is... obviously, an extreme honor having lobbied for nearly, well, as long as you've been in the House. I won't give our age. But we had a really fantastic announcement today. When I first became mayor, one of my initiatives was Fight the Blight and really trying to take care of addressing abandoned and neglected homes and businesses, especially in what I consider our original city, downtown West Edge, and the south side. And I had the opportunity to submit an idea to Bloomberg Philanthropies as part of a mayor's challenge. And we went through a process, and the good Senator Affie Ellis was part of a group of 15 of us that met back in August. Cheyenne was selected to participate as one of, there were originally over 500 cities that participated in this challenge. It got narrowed down to 300 cities. We were afforded a coach for a day. Again, Senator Affie Ellis was a part of the day that we spent. And while other cities were given months, we got into the game kind of late. We had essentially weeks to put together a proposal. And it was announced this morning nationally. Cheyenne, Wyoming is one of 35 cities nationwide to have been selected for the mayor's challenge for Bloomberg. We receive with us $100,000, a coach for the next 6 months, and the opportunity to be selected as one of the top five cities with a program of either $1 million or $5 million prize to go forward. So what our initiative is, we're calling it Buildings with a Purpose, and we're using technology and mapping to essentially marry entrepreneurs with open spaces, businesses that certainly maybe have gone under because of the recession, the decline, abandoned or underutilized businesses. So we're really excited to be, again, one of 35 cities. We're competing with the likes of Boston and Austin, Texas, and Ithaca, New York, and even Denver. But Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the map, and I think it speaks really well for the entire state of Wyoming. And we certainly have been following the Endow Initiative and really what it means for communities to diversify our economy. And I have said all along.
No lobbying.
Okay. But I really believe that it's up to our communities to assist you all in how we move the state forward. So, again, a real pleasure to be here and pretty neat for the state of Cheyenne and Cheyenne, Wyoming to have received this award. Thank you.
Congratulations. Let's thank the city of Cheyenne. I would guess since you're visiting with the chairman of appropriations, he would ask if there will be an offset to your direct distribution if you get the $5 million. Thank you very much and congratulations. That's really positive for Wyoming. Good job. Yes, sir, Senator Office.
Well, I was just going to say, while we're at a break, perhaps it would be beneficial to take a break, but I saw that you were standing up to do the same thing, so I'll yield to Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
By your leave, we would I'd request that we take a 10-minute break, give the staff a chance to stretch their legs, and since we have to stay in the chamber to vote, you know, some of these other senators may want to stretch their legs too. So,
Senate will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel, approximately 10 minutes.